This is your Anime D-Gens Weekly Rundown 58. Man, let's get it. Well, welcome back, everybody. I am here with my co-host, Tyler. We are missing Dan once again. Somebody get an APB out on this man. We're looking for him still. But now we're playing. He'll be back soon, guys. But yeah, Tyler, how are you?
Well, we're doing this on a Sunday. And right after time change, time going forward, I don't know how that's a thing still. You think we would have got rid of it a while back ago? Because it's kicking my ass, not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan either, man. The fall back is always cool because we get an extra hour, but yeah. Then we have to spring forward and it's just, it's ass.
I don't know. I feel like we should just do away with it, honestly. So,
yes.
Have one consistent time, I would be down for that. So,
yeah, I'd be okay with that. Like, and it was mainly made for farmers, if I remember correctly. But now they got LEDs on their trucks and equipment. So, like, let's not do this to the rest of society anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we can move on from it, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, guys. As you know, the best way to support us, rate the podcast, tell your friends about it. We appreciate all the ratings that we have gotten so far. It helps out a ton. And of course, if you guys have any topics or questions about the latest episodes of any of our rundown shows, please let us know in our socials, linktree.com/AnimeDGens. Hit us up in the Discord. We active. We on Twitter as well, guys. So, and we normally try to incorporate everything that you guys ask of us. As more requests come in, maybe we don't get to everything, but we're on it right now. We are on it.
Yeah, we are.
So, guys, we have three shows we're going to cover. One Piece is on a break this week. But the first show we're going to cover is Undead Unluck, episode 22. Frieren, episode 26. Mashal, season 2, episode 9. So, we had a banger in here.
Yeah.
Maybe even two. Who knows? But you ready to get down to get through these rundowns, bud?
Yeah, let's do this shit, bro.
All right. So first we have Undead Unluck, episode 22, profile. So Fuko now finds herself in Victor's memories and is getting hunted down like a dog. After a while, though, she earns his respect by becoming a little bit stronger. And Victor actually ends up seeing her potential in action. So this is a very interesting episode, but it starts off with kind of like a flashback with Victor and Juice kind of walking and talking around the round table. And we also get to see kind of the moment that I believe it was Juice put the card in Victor, said that metal card that kind of keeps him locked up. What reason do you believe that he would do that? She needed to do that. Like what was at the time that you were watching?
So I want to point out too that she looked a lot like Fuko. I thought it was Fuko at one point.
Yeah, man. It was weird. Like they, I guess she's matured over the years. Cause like, yeah, she looked like bright, like wide eyed and very different.
Yeah. As far as, putting a card in Victor's head though, I don't really see any reason that she would do that because that just like caps his power, right? And they wanted to kill the god or whatever. So like, what's the reason? Right. I just couldn't think of one.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And then now that we think about it, like we know they had a relationship. Like it made me ask, like, what? Why hasn't she pulled the cart out of his head? You know, at the time, at the beginning of this episode, that's why I was thinking that. Because they kind of get into it a little later.
maybe she put the card in her head that way he would forget about her. Maybe she wanted him to forget about her, and that does the trick, right?
It definitely does. It definitely does.
Maybe there was a reason why she needed to get away or do something else that he shouldn't know about or something like that. And so that's what they decided on for the best. I'm assuming it's for the best of mankind, but you never know with Victor Thor. So.
Big Thor. So we're at the date of April 15th, 1865, and I just put it in Google, and that was actually the day that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated as well. Mm. Fun fact for everybody out there, right? Not so fun fact, actually. Not so fun.
Interesting fact.
Interesting factoid. But yeah, Puka kind of like found herself face to face with Victor, and he says from this point on are his memories. And now we're talking about April 15th here. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about, because isn't the April 15th, 1865, like Andy's birthday? Shouldn't they be Andy's memories?
I mean, do we actually know that he was born on that day?
I mean, that's what all signs point to.
Well, so going off of the, so I'm gonna skip ahead. Going off of the end of the episode when Shfuko asked Victor what happened in 1865 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. He says, "Ask Juiz." You want to know what I think about it?
What?
I think that Juiz and Victor got married in 1865.
Right.
On that day.
But I also think that was the same time where she put that card in his head.
Yeah, I think they got married and then she put the card in his head. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would do that. That's a hell of a honeymoon, I guess, but
yeah, like we need to flush out some stuff. But I mean, that would also be the day that Andy was born. Because Andy's only there when the card's in the head. Yeah.
Yeah. his new personality was born. I see what you're saying.
Right. That's what I mean by that. Like that's that's what I've been referring to it as. But yeah, I didn't really understand what Victor meant. But maybe since Victor is the main body, he's like, yeah, all this shit is mine, which is fair. That's how I would feel. But either way, Victor decides to start killing Fuko inside of the memories. So she never wants to look at the memories again. And his end goal is like, if I kill Fuko enough, she'll actually die in the real world. And he wants to do that to weaken Andy's psyche so he can take over his body again. But now that we know that Victor is the guy, this is his body, Andy is a sign of mental illness, in the sense that there's a card in his head, do we feel it's fair? Like, I kind of feel bad for Victor, bro. I guess is what I'm getting at here. Like, this is kind of fucked up.
I mean, in some ways, I guess, but You gotta think.
Somebody else has his body, bro. What do you mean, kinda? what the fuck, bro?
But you gotta look at it this way. This man has lived for no telling how long, right?
That don't mean he gets to have his body dispossessed.
But technically, it's still his body, right? It's just a different personality.
Yeah.
His main personality is being suppressed.
Get the fuck out
of here. He's still there. He's still there and living. It's just that he's just not able to
he's in the backseat of his own fucking body, Tyler. It's fucked up. It's fucked up, bro.
At least he's not dead, you know? So.
Yeah, but I feel like if I put a card in your head and another personality came out, I think you'd be a little frustrated with me, to say the least.
Possibility, probably.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, I personally think that they should give Victor his body back because it just seems a little messed up. But so we get back to Shinjuku railway station back in Japan, and Victor is pulling out some stops. He had some attacks similar to Doflamingo, and some blood strings is what I'm gonna call them. But Andy ends up showing up and saving Fuko, and we saw some really cool new abilities in their kit, which is one, the ability to be able to harden Andy's blood. He had some really tight movement, which was really cool. And I think the biggest thing that we got out of this is Fuko's unluck bullet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool development, I guess you can say.
Yeah. So, I mean, finally, I think it was from talking to Fuko in the prior memory, Andy's now putting his soul in his fingers, is what he's saying to everybody. That way the unluck travels when he shoots it, which I thought was pretty dope.
Yeah. I did not expect that. And I guess kudos to him for figuring it out. Cause even in like the present world or whatever, not the book. So I don't really know how this all works, because in the present world, he's not able to do these things and she's not able to do these things. But in the book, back when Andy first meets Fuko at Shinjuku Station or whatever that we're talking about now, he's able to do these things, the blood and the unlucked bullets and putting your soul in a different part of the body, because he used to think it was only his head. You know, he'd have to do his head only or whatever. So it just makes me wonder, how did he learn these moves inside while he was contained inside this book when he doesn't know them outside of the book? You see what I'm saying?
Right. But I think like the alteration of like the memories or like the events in the book is like causing them to like up their battle prowess. So it seems. This is like a training arc type beat.
So I wonder if Fuko going back and, you know, messing with stuff like that, she actually changed the real world as well.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of this. Okay. Because I forget. What is the
Anno?
Anno, yes. I think that was like the whole point of Anna doing this. She's like, yeah, we have to make you stronger. And the best way to do that is so for y'all to like get to know each other a little better and understand each other.
At first, I thought they was just going in to like learn about the past and like come back with that knowledge and tell each other, talk to each other about what they learned or whatever. But I really do think it's like changing the present time. So.
Yeah, that's what I thought until this episode. I definitely thought that it was just like, oh, they're just going to go learn, then they're going to go train. But it seems like it's a little two-in-one package.
Yeah,
because once Fuko told Andy like that he's unluck, I think that gave him more time to like experiment with his abilities and like learn all this stuff. Because Victor did end up saying that, oh, you learned all of this in a mere 140 years. And I was like, okay, he just called 140 years Mir, you know, between Victor and the elves from Furin, like, this is getting out of hand. But yeah, that made me think, it's like, okay, this is like accelerated his growth because he knew he would have to go protect Fuko. Yeah. So maybe he practiced a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just surprising how like long they actually do live, I guess. And I don't know. You wonder how long Jui's and him has been alive trying to do this shit. Because I think they started throwing around like hundreds and millions of years.
Yeah, bro.
So
yes, brother. So Victor ends up,
the reason that card's in his head. I mean,
it's fucking nuts. Like, Victor does end up saying, like, Juice has been trying to take down God for hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah.
And, like, still hasn't succeeded. Like, if I was Juice, maybe I would just go live my life. Like, I don't know if I got that kind of grit in me. Hundreds of millions of years of losing over and over and over.
The crazy thing is Andy, he's not able to die, but, you know, Juice, she could move on. She just wouldn't have to get, you know, she just don't have to get on that arc.
That's true.
Apparently, I mean, that's what it looks like.
I'd probably still keep getting on the arc.
you know about it, so why not, right?
Right, but I just wouldn't be killing, trying to kill God with my spare time.
I see you.
But Victor, like, he ends up saying, like, he wants to kill Juice, like, to save her the trouble of suffering. He says, I don't want to see the woman I love continue to suffer. Bro, that was pretty ass backwards, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a point, you know. She can't get it out of her mind. He thinks that it's impossible to do it because they haven't been able to do it yet. And she thinks that it's impossible, but she still keeps on trying to do it. So in order to stop, you know, the woman he loves from suffering, you know, by putting herself through this over and over, he's just going to get rid of her. Just let her move on. It's kind of romantic, right?
No. murder's never romantic, no.
Oh, damn, I must be reading too much anime or some shit.
You might be, dog. You might be. It's fucked up. It's real fucked up.
Ain't that what they did in Game of Thrones?
Oh my god, bro.
Okay.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong, but he ain't right either. But yeah, Victor ends up changing his mind on the subject, which I thought was good. Like, that seems healthy. But I think he kind of, like, he said he saw himself and Andy and Foucault. He saw him and Juice and Andy and Foucault. And that's pretty cool. But the OG team wasn't able to do it. So I think Victor's like, okay, let's see if this new team can. They seem to care a lot about each other. They're kind of altering their paths to get more powerful. But I think the big thing that Victor, that kind of made him sway, was Foucault can now deliver personalized unluck instead of just physical damage. And we saw that because Victor got his head stuck in that union ball, the same as Andy's did when he originally got caught. And this is a big difference because you can unluck God personally to whatever his unluck is, instead of just hitting him with a goddamn meteor.
Yeah, this is a big moment for Andy and Foucault, because now Foucault is kind of OP. I mean, she was kind of OP before, but now she's even more OP.
Yes.
So
her luck is going to be personalized to you when she wants it to be. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Now the undead unluck pair that's already, like, really powerful. Yeah, I mean, you really can't stop it now, I guess. They don't want you to.
It's gonna be a problem. So, but that's all I have for undead unluck. I thought it was a pretty solid episode.
Yeah. One more thing. When the ball came down and his head came, it opened up and his head went in it, I was just, you know, thinking, gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon.
I'm glad you got that in there.
I had to, bro. Now we can move on to Furin.
Okay.
All right, we got Furin episode 26, The Height of Magic. And now we get to see the conclusion of the participants of the mage exam versus the dungeon boss, Spiegel. Will everyone work together and hold out till Furin and Fern can defeat Spiegel? We will find out. And doing so, we start this episode off back at the fight. And it turns out that we was talking about it last episode, if we thought, you know, Fern dealt the killing blow at the end of the match. And it turns out I was right. It just didn't make sense. And she does not kill Clayron with the killing Zoltrak. And I was so happy to see that, not just because I was right, but because we actually get to see more of it, and we get to see like all the clones come into play. So,
okay, yeah, I thought you were gonna say not only because I was right, but because Bass was wrong.
I would do my man like that. But we find out that a mage of Fern's caliber. We know that she's strong, but she still can't take advantage of that fatal flaw that Furin shown everybody. Dinkin really wasn't kidding. When he said that even a great mage wasn't going to be able to take advantage of that. So, I mean, shout out to Furin for just being that much of a badass, I guess.
And like it makes sense why Furin wouldn't like try to correct it, because it's like, why go through the trouble? Like, no one's really can do anything about it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do to me? So, but then we move on to like Dinkin and Method. They actually organized a way to find the other clones and track them down and kill them, essentially. And basically everyone told, Dinkin and them who their weakest matchup would be according to them. And he basically matched the clones up with their weakest matchup. And this was actually a great idea, I thought. But the problem is you think some people would have lied in this moment. So what did you think about all this stuff?
I mean, I would have lied personally.
Yeah.
But I think if you would lie, like other people would like be like, that doesn't sound right. Why are you lying? Because, I mean, I think it's somewhat predictable. They've said before in this series, like, magic, I mean, being a mage is kind of like rock, paper, scissors to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So people can, like, naturally understand what your weaknesses might be. So if you tell them something that, like, that's, like, seems very wrong to them, they probably question it.
Especially Dinkin. Dinkin seems like he is very knowledgeable about everyone else, apparently. So
yeah, I don't think it would have. Think he just would have made you look even more suspect for the third test. I probably would have told the truth, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it would hurt to not, you know, to tell the truth, because it's not like you're going against each other. Everyone can win. It's not a limited amount of people that can get in, right? So,
right, but this is only the second round, and there's three rounds.
Oh, is there three rounds?
Yeah, okay. Buddy.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there's a third round or not. I guess they said it in the beginning or something.
Yeah,
I just didn't pay attention. But since Toad, during this conversation, since I actually told the first class mages that they, in order to become first class mages, they have to overcome unfair adversity, and that this dungeon didn't even qualify for that. She also said that they can simply pass the test by watching each other's backs. And then she went on to ask them if this was not a truly kind and peaceful test. So, in your opinion, do you think this is a kind and peaceful test?
I think Sense is a little off her rocker. Kind and peaceful test is crazy. We've seen at least three people get stabbed in the chest by her clay form.
But no, they wasn't watching each other's backs, right? That's all they got to do is what she says.
Oh, my God. Like, and she knew what she was doing. She knew the spiegel was down there, and she still went in the cave because she was like, yeah, they're gonna have to fight me. What's up?
Yeah. Oh,
sneaky. She's a liar, bro. She's a liar.
Wasn't Werble the one that was really, really upset? He's like, if you wouldn't have come down here, we wouldn't be dealing with this shit.
Yeah. He knew what was going on. I came in here for a reason.
Yeah, I enjoyed that scene. I like seeing the I'd almost call it like snarky, right? She was acting like snarky.
She is snarky. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But it was fun seeing them like interact like that. Cause she was like, all you got to do is simple. Is just watch each other's back. Okay. How do you watch each other's back when you got somebody like Sense in there and Furin? So,
devious.
But then we start the little, clone, executions, I guess you can say. And Larouine and Reiter ended up getting ambushed by the Sense clone. And they end up having to use their golems because they got hit pretty hard with that hair. And then Dinkin, Ubel, and Four Eyes roll up and see the clone. And also see Larouine and Reiter having to leave the dungeon via their golems. And after all this happened, we actually see Ubel step up to the plate to fight Sense. And did you expect her to do that and actually win a 1v1?
Well, I mean, we've been waiting on Ubel to like really do some, like, we've been waiting on Ubel to stunt for episodes now. We really have. And like, she finally got her moment. And like, when she saw who it was and started smiling, I was like, she got this. Like, she's not scared, like, at all. She's like, nah, bro, I got this. Dinkin, sit back. Watch this. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something cool. And it, like, made sense, like, immediately to me why she would be able to beat her. Because, like, she cuts stuff.
Yeah.
And hair cuts. That's how I was thinking. And it was almost disappointing that it was that simple.
I mean, you know,
like, I can imagine cutting hair. So like, let's go cut the hair. Yeah.
It doesn't matter that it's imbued with like tons of magic. It's hair, bro. Hair is hair.
And so. Yeah, what she call it? The real seeding.
Yeah.
It cuts anything she can imagine herself cutting. And like, we've already established that Ubel is like, she does magic by feel. And Four Eyes has already called her pretty dull. So, like, this actually works to her advantage, like, her being kind of stupid, according to other people. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she's smart, but she also looks at things differently, I guess you can say. So.
Yeah, I don't think stupid's the right word. I think it's more like, yeah, she has, like, a unique perspective.
She can choose to be ignorant.
Yeah.
So,
which is... And, quite genius.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to be. It's all a mind game, right? Like, most things in life is a mind game. Like, can you or can you not do it? And if you already talk yourself out of not being able to do it before you even start, you lost the game, right?
Yeah.
So, that's just what it is. And she's able to imagine herself winning. And it just, she's got that dog in her, I guess you could say. So
she does. She for sure does.
I also like the fact that she asked Dinkin, that was getting rid of Sense, did they have to do it in order to beat the dungeon? And he started like talking about some other shit. Well, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, that's not what I asked. I was like, is this necessary, bro? And he's like, yes. And she's like, okay, I'll go kill her. I love that scene. That was a great scene.
Yeah, just like, yes or no question, bro. Don't give me that complicated shit. Yes or no question. I like her. The way she acts and how other people view her, I think she might be a little dull. But it's to her advantage that she's so dull. And she's like more intuitive with magic. I don't think many of the other mages like use like feel, like straight up just like natural feel to like cast magic.
Yeah, I never really understood how, like, even though they explained it a little bit, I never really understood how she actually worked until this episode. When they showed the flashback with Sense and her killing that other proctor with the untouchable cloak or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that stuff made her character and her magic make sense to me. So I'm glad that they showed this.
Yes. And the little So, like, after she cut, like, the person in half, the proctor in half, the untouchable cloak until it was touched, the flashback with Sense, her going to Sense's office was pretty cool.
I kind of felt like she was threatening her offhandedly.
You think so?
Yeah, like, your hair needs to be, why don't you just cut it? She was offering her a haircut, bro.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't say a threat, but I think she was pointing out the fact that, like, I'm better than you. Like you have a bad matchup with me.
Yeah.
Instead of being like an outright threat, it's more just like, remember, I can cut that hair.
And I love that. I love that she can, like, just simply look at her and tell that she is a great matchup with her. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ubu was like, yeah, Sense was like, yeah, Ubu is not much of a fight for me. I'm very strong, but, like, I cannot fight her.
Yeah, I loved that scene. This whole episode was just so great, and everything that it tried to do, I think, so.
Yeah, it was pretty tight.
But then we realized, after Sense was defeated, we realized that the clones are starting to come back alive, or, you know, reform or whatever. And 5 different clones pulled up on Dinkin, Four Eyes, and Ubel. And did it actually surprise you that this was happening?
Yeah, it really did. I didn't think Spiegel was really on this type of time, but it makes sense that he would just remake the clones because his body's so weak, it's not like he can defend himself or it can defend itself. So
yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, like, I mean, after we saw it happen, I was like, yeah, okay, of course he would do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just surprised. So this really surprised me too, because we hadn't seen anything like this, right? Mm-hmm. But it also, after I found out, it surprised me that he just didn't let, like, if it was me in that position, I just wouldn't let them die, right? I would just remake them instantly.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure, but, like, maybe they are spawning from a certain location. They can only spawn from maybe one or a few locations.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe he had, like, different areas, portals or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
We and don't like, really know thinking, how it works.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, maybe I would, like, make, like, an army of the people that came in. But it's, like, it seems like he could only have one clone of a certain person at one time.
Yeah, true. And everybody starts fighting all the other clones, and we actually get back to the main fight, Furin and Furin versus Clayrin, the fake Furin. And Furin tells Furin that if she shows a good vulnerability, then the clone will show an even greater one. She also assures Furin that if she focuses on defense, it won't be fatal. And what was going through your mind after she said that statement? Because for me, I thought that she was going to, like, try to distract her, and then Fern was just going to, like, hit both of them at the same time. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I thought Fern was really putting herself in some danger here.
Yeah.
But just exactly what you would describe. That's what I thought too.
Yeah. And I was kind of worried for a minute. And I guess it could have been that way, but Fern, they go hard, and Fern actually takes advantage of a moment and sends a barrage of Zoltrak, resorting in both of the clones' arms getting blown off. But even without the arms, the clone was able to stare at Fern and send her flying while breaking her staff and immobilizing her. And honestly, this is like the most powerful spell we've seen Fern ever use. And I'm just thinking, like, do you think that they showed us this power to kind of skill check Fern?
I think so.
Because,
like, at least I was thinking, it's like, Fern can do a little something. And Fern still just has more levels.
There's more levels to
Fern. And she's still not even close. Because Fern was like, I don't even recognize this as a spell. This doesn't even look like magic to me.
Yeah.
She's over there getting crushed. Yeah. And like, imagine like you cut both of somebody's arms off and they're still stronger than you. Like, it's not close.
How'd you like those eyes, bro?
That shit was scary.
She just like you could tell, even though it was like a fake clone or whatever, she kind of had like bloodlust, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Nah, she was ready to finish Fern off.
Yeah, and it's also like interesting because Fern, after the fact, she says that she hasn't used the spell like the fake clone used in 80 years, which would have been around the time that she was in the Heroes Party, I believe. So, yes. That's crazy that even still that Fern got shit on, kinda. She still made Fern use something that she hasn't used since back in the day. So that even though she got skill checked, it still shows her in a positive light because she's a badass still. So
well, if it was just Fern in that room, she'd be dead.
Oh yeah, 100%, right?
Yeah. So Frieren and Fern made Frieren use that. Clayren used that spell.
Yeah.
It was definitely not just Fern. I don't think Fern's anywhere close to being able to mess with her master
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. But I also did enjoy that because I really do think it was a skill check to kind of put it, because they've been gassing up Fern pretty hard. So yes. They had to, you know, show us where she's truly at. So, and while all this is happening, while Fern is just chilling up there on the wall, Fern actually takes advantage of all that and she moves in and deals the killing blow. And that ends, they walk into the room, get rid of like the diamond type thing that's floating in the air, and it kills all the clones of the Spiegel. So everyone's basically saved now. And closing this out, we actually only get to see 2 out of the 14 fail this test, making it the first time anyone's ever passed a sense test, and 12 people passed it. And so I originally thought that this may be the last test, but Bass says there's a third one coming that I didn't know about. But what was your thoughts on like the whole fight in this episode and all that stuff? I want to hear them.
I thought the fight was pretty awesome, but my favorite parts of the episode were the Ubel flashbacks and okay. the Ubel. Yeah, she stole the show for me. And then obviously Frieren skill checking Fern there was kind of big different because like all of a sudden it was like, okay, Fern can't do anything. I thought it was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, yeah, also
I thought less people would pass senses tests.
Yeah, I think did we not have it in the under 6?
Yeah, I had it like 4.
Yeah,
and 4 people didn't even get knocked out.
I think you had the lowest. I think you had 4. Okay. I think Dan and me chose 5 and 6 or something like that. So
yeah,
but damn, 12 people, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a power of friendship really pulled through. But yeah, this was one of my favorite episodes of the season as well. The fact, like the Fern thing, where after she got knocked on the wall and seeing her point of view waking up or whatever, that was pretty dope. So when she opened her eyes and you got to see through her eyes or whatever, so.
Yeah, that was a little weird. I thought that was a weird little frame there.
Weird. I actually liked it. I thought that was really unique. So
I had never seen it with the eyelashes before. We've all seen like the little eye opening effect or animation.
I mean, it makes sense, right?
Like, I mean, yeah. Your eyelashes are in your vision. Yeah, for sure. But it was just weird seeing.
But yeah, definitely. I honestly think it's a 10 out of 10 episode. It was just done so good on so many fronts with the flashbacks and everything. And at the end, we actually see like Fern in a mimic. And I was asking for this. I was asking for Dinkin to see Fern in a mimic. And I really wish that they would have over-exaggerated his reaction. We got like a, if he could have rolled his eyes, he would have kind of deal. And I'm kind of hoping like the next episode starts off in that moment and we get to see some dialogue from Dinkin, seeing her in a mimic.
Yeah, he was just flabbergasted. But I mean, we have the elderly statesman. I don't think he's going to go too crazy with the reactions. He's always very measured in thinking about things.
Yeah. The funny thing is that wasn't the first mimic that she'd gotten into there. There was two more mimics already open. And I was dying laughing at the end of this episode.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. They didn't get the catcher on the first two, but they definitely saw those mimics, other two mimics evaporating. We're like, yo, like who is this elf?
But yeah, that's all I got. A fantastic episode of Furin. So,
for sure.
Sad we only got two more episodes to go, unfortunately. So
it is quite unfortunate, but yeah, it's been a great journey. Great journey.
It has.
Next, guys, we have Mashal, season 2, episode 9, Wahlberg Bygone, and the magic of darkness. So Wahlberg is ready to fight Innocent Zero, but IZ has cast a forbidden spell, and Edo Tenside, his master, Adam Jobs. And after dealing with Adam, Wahlberg kind of moves on to long, and we kind of learn some more important information about MASH. But yeah, guys, so right off the bat, we learned that Adam Jobs like created the magic system that we know of in this story and lived for centuries. So I didn't know human lifespan, you could live for that long in this series. And we had also wondered what they meant by Adam being, I think, the foundation of the magic system. So he founded it. I think that was just a little rough translation there by Crunchyroll.
Okay.
Yeah. But what was really interesting is Adam spent his later years on social support, Noblesse Oblique. That's French. But yeah, it was just like social support for the Lack Magics. But like, how do you think they got to the point of going from that, helping the Lack Magics, to killing them at birth?
I'm not sure. I wonder if they get into that, because that's a good point that, you know, he was for them and he was like the pinnacle of like the magical world, right? And mm-hmm. Now they're like killing them off rip. So it's interesting how they got there. Maybe after he died, Innocent Zero done more to change the world or something, since he was one part of his students, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
We actually saw that Adam had three students. So, yeah, the people outside of Wahlberg could have done some fuck shit in the world, for sure.
Yeah.
But we kind of see in the episode, like, it seems like Wahlberg was maybe the strongest one. Maybe. But it just seems weird that they went from helping Lack Magics to killing them at birth. Like, it's crazy. And, like, this... It makes me think, like, did this happen under Wahlberg? You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe that's why
he's letting this happen. It's, you know, at some level, if you're the big guy, like, this is happening under your supervision.
Didn't correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not 100%, like, I'm not good at like keeping up with history and stuff. But is Wahlberg not the one who like? I don't want to say like created like the divisionaries, but he's the one that supports the divisionaries the most if he didn't create it, right?
Wahlberg didn't create it.
Yeah, but he supports them very heavily, I guess, by running the school that sends the divisionaries to them. So maybe what I'm getting at is maybe he knows that he can't take on the people that actually made this up. Maybe it was multiple people or whatever. We don't really know. And maybe this is his way of fighting them by creating more people.
He used to be the leader of the world, though, of the magic system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know.
He
then started teaching and being the headmaster.
Maybe it was a vote.
We'll have to see, because, like, yeah, that's not adding up at all.
Yeah.
And, like, Wahlberg doesn't seem like that kind of guy anyway, so.
Yeah, maybe it was, like, a vote of the world kind of deal, and they voted to get rid of the lack magic. I don't know what they're hurting, but, so, I know they mentioned before that they didn't want the lack magics to, I guess, basically breed and, like, diminish the magical value, I guess, kind of deal.
It's messed up. It's really...
Is that not what they kind of got at, though,
yeah,
in the beginning?
Eugenics. Yeah, some eugenics, yeah. But, yeah, we also confirmed that Adam was Edo Tensai by... That's what I'm going to call it, because, if you watch... If you watch Naruto, you know what's going on here. But, yeah, he got Edo Tensai by Innocent Zero and is getting controlled as a puppet. Crucial. So... And we also got told that Wahlberg is the strongest wizard in the current world. Like, did that change your take on this fight?
I think it did.
I definitely thought Wahlberg was going to his death.
Yeah, because we had like a little conversation last week of the dude, like the comparisons of the gods that they control or whatever. And in history, you know, Innocent Zero takes down. Yeah.
Yeah, Kronos did end up killing Uranus, which was Wahlberg's god, yeah.
So we kind of thought that was leading us to that moment, but turns out in this episode, it's not really going to go that way, or at least yet anyway, so...
Yes, for sure. And we also got a reveal of what Adam's magic was, what dark magic is. So it's maybe the strongest form of magic in history and was revealed to be dark magic, which returns anything it touches to the void, even other magic. So it's pretty much just, I'm going to say disintegrating, but it seems like it's just transferring it to the void.
You know who that is, right?
What are you talking about?
Blackbeard.
Oh my god.
Blackbeard has returned to Mashal.
Got it. Returned? He's back? Okay.
Yeah. He's gonna be stealing the powers, bro.
That would be hilarious. Wahlberg. Well, we also get to see that Wahlberg's magic is to cut through space and move it somewhere else. So he pretty much some kind of like teleporting magic is what I would say. And it seems to be a direct counter to Adam's magic. And he kind of quickly dispatches the doll. And we actually see that just Wahlberg's wand or staff is so damn powerful just on its own. Because for most of the fight, he didn't even cast a spell.
Yeah, that was really wild when... So I thought the whole time that Wahlberg was actually like fighting, but he reveals that he's not even been trying. He's just been letting his staff/wand do the heavy lifting so far because he just didn't have to do anything else.
Yeah, I really thought Wahlberg might be in trouble for like 30 seconds, and I was like, nah, this is easy for him.
Yeah, he got that look on his face. He's like, nah, son. Sit down, sonny boy.
Yeah. You can't even beat me with my old master. Get the fuck out of here.
Damn sorcery wannabe. Get out of here.
Facts. but yeah, we head back to... After that, we quickly head back to the fight between Celwar and Mash. And they're having a quick talk. And it's revealed that Innocent Zero created Mash. so he could have an immortal heart using forbidden magic of body construction. So that's his daddy. That's his pappy.
I get what's that called? Immaculate conception or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, he just appeared out of thin air. No birds and the bees involved. So
that's true. That's true. So it was, I was a little unclear. So is Cell War one of these beings that's just a vessel for the six hearts?
No. He's not. He said that he clarified that because Mash asked him if he was his brother, and he said, no, I'm just a made up clone that is basically a servant to Innocent Zero to do what needs to be done in order to achieve his immortality.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh. I see.
Yeah.
But yeah, after learning this news, Mash, in true Mashal fashion, takes a stress nap. He's like, man, my life is heavy. Like, he's getting a little depressed because, like, there's a lot going on in his life. And he literally just pulls out a blanket and pillow and lays on the ground. It's like, yeah, give me a minute. Give me a minute. We can get back to it in a second.
Yeah, he done the old sleep test. You know, go to sleep, wake up, and see if it's a dream. Mm-hmm. See if life gets better, because usually it doesn't, folks. Just letting you know. It's Shit. Still the same.
I'm taking some stress naps, and it helps, dude. It helps.
You know what helps me de-stress?
What's
some
up?
Good old-fashioned food.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, there's been a few times I get off work or dealing with something in my life, I'm like, man, I need a nap. I need to go to sleep right now. And I wake up refreshed and ready to take on the problem. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I feel that. I love that. So.
Yeah. Cell War ends up going full out and summons Hephaestus. How do you say that, bro?
I'm probably struggling. Like Hephaestus.
Yeah, Hephaestus. Well, it's either way. Big Heffy is the god of fire and craftsmanship. So, metalworking. He's the god of volcanoes, metallurgy, and the so on and so forth as far as craftsmanship. Which transformed Innocent. I mean, Cell War's wand to like this branch with four different destructo discs on it. It was pretty cool looking. I really thought it was a little intimidating. Because these are like heat-seeking destructo disc, and he also has his big black diamond in the sky pointing at the other students that are still in the arena.
And also, it's worthy to mention that he said that there was diamonds like infused with the outer edges, so it literally can cut through anything. Because you know, obviously, diamonds are the strongest. Whatever in the world, so metal, or I don't know, whatever the hell it is.
It's just the hardest material.
Yeah.
He's got diamond tip destructo disc.
Yeah.
Krillin is getting one upped. That's crazy. But like, I had no idea Cell War was really made like this. I didn't know. We saw that he had a third line on his face. Did not expect that at all. But yeah, he just had a whole other level ready to go.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder as well that so we know Innocent Zero created Cell War. So does Cell War like share powers with Innocent Zero, or does he have a limited amount of power that was given to him by Innocent Zero? So
I don't know. Like I think like they would have maybe comparable power, since they're both like three liners at least.
Yeah.
But he probably makes them learn certain types of magic and use certain types of magic to like go well with him and his plans.
I gotcha. I'm just wondering how strong Innocent Zero actually is, since he's making three liner clones. So
true.
That's also what I'm getting at.
Sure, man. Really not sure. But in the end, Mash ends up like sneaking behind Selwar by taking a lap around the academy, running on water in true Mash fashion. And ends up choking Selwar out. What'd you think about this scene, along with the cream puff party scene?
I didn't know what was happening when the cream. So we didn't actually see the choking out part until after the cream puff party.
Mm-hmm.
And like we seen that Mash's head was a big cream puff at one time. And then he just starts shoving cream puffs in the dude's mouth. And it turns out that all of it's a
hallucination. Yeah.
Hallucination caused by Mash choking out Selwar, and they actually like explained how a chokeout works, which was wild to me. You know, they actually explained like how that actually works, like carotid artery and everything. So,
yeah.
Like, damn, you really putting kids out here trying to learning them how to choke out people. You know?
Yeah, I thought that when Mash got hit and they showed like the cream puff head on his like body lay on the ground, I thought, I don't know what the hell was going on, but like I was like, is that a cream puff clone? Are they really like going into Naruto's bag like this? We have fake sorcery at Otensai, and now a cream puff clone.
I'm not even capping. I did too. I was like, when did Mash learn to create a cream puff clone? What kind of bullshit is this?
Yeah, I thought that he was on some other shit.
Did he move so fast that he was able to switch out a giant cream puff with his head to make it seem like himself?
I thought he went by like Lemon's dorm or something like that, and she had a cream puff body of him. Because like that's the only way it made sense in my head, but I was like, that'd be so lame. That'd be so lame.
The fact that we have to think this hard to figure out what the hell is going on sometimes is just shows you what this show actually is.
Yes, so. For sure.
Cream puff party. Okay. I think we're done though.
Yeah, that's it for me, bud.
But yeah, so that's it for our weekly rundown 58. And we actually got, this coming up Thursday, we actually got the One Piece OVA that's on Netflix. We're going to be doing a shorter episode. Probably it's going to be Monsters 103 Mercies Dragon Damnation. So we actually going to watch that one episode OVA and we're going to talk about it. It's going to be, I think it's focused on Ryuman from Thriller Bark, which is, you know, Zoro has to, I think Zoro makes some appearances in it as well. So it should be a fun time. And I think this fits really well because we didn't have One Piece this week. And so we're still going to be talking about One Piece on the Degen episode. So
yes,
y'all
sir.
Stay tuned.
I'm excited.
I am too. Everybody was gassing it up. So we're going to finally see what it's about. But with that being said, make sure y'all rate the podcast on all your platforms, Spotify and Apple. It really helps us out a lot. It helps get our name out there. And also, if you have any questions or topics that you'd like us to talk about for One Piece, Mashal, Season 2, Furin, or Undead Unluck, or just any topic in general or movies that you want us to check out and review or whatever, we take all those and we'll get to them eventually. If you do tell us, just let us know on Discord, any of our socials, linktree.com/animedegens. And we will see y'all on Thursday for some Zoro Ryuman One Piece action. Later.
Bye.